Jeffrey Overstreet. Welcome to Looking Closer, my blog. We're going to begin by checking today's mail. Let's see. All right. First message. You didn't like Braveheart? Why not? That movie changed my life. What kind of person doesn't like Braveheart? All right, let's see what else we got here. The second one. Mr. Overstreet, how can you call The Tree of Life your favorite movie of 2011? That was the single most boring movie I've ever seen. Well, so goes a typical day in my life, scanning comments on my film reviews and reading email from readers. Over the last decade of writing film reviews for publications such as Image, Paste, and Christianity Today, and websites such as filmwell.org, which I started with my friend Michael Leary, and my own blog, of course, this blog, lookingcloser.org, I've received all kinds of questions, some of them charged with emotion. For example, someone might say, I see that you liked Pixar's Brave, but how can I make sure it's safe for my children? Or they may say, aren't you taking this too seriously? Isn't it just entertainment? I had a few that said something along the lines of, American Beauty is the best movie I've ever seen, and your review pretty much confirms that you're an idiot. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And recently, how could you recommend Certified Copy? I watched it on Netflix, and it's just two people walking around and having the most unbearable arguments. It bored me to tears. Thanks for wasting my time. You know, many people would simply delete messages like these. Sometimes I do. Others would respond with similarly contentious words. And I confess, sometimes I have. I try, and I don't always succeed, to respond a little differently. Many of these questions require more than short answers, more than an argument. Movies inspire passionate feelings, and those feelings, once expressed, can inspire strong bonds between us, or cause us to clash. As I sort through my email and talk with moviegoers at work, church, or film festivals, I find that once we get past these initial emotional responses and begin to explore our shared experiences and differing interpretations, we can learn a great deal about each other and ourselves. In years past, writing film reviews for publications with Christian audiences, I wrestled daily with certain questions that other film reviewers may never face. Religious readers, particularly interested in what filmmaking and faith have to do with each other, often raise questions about worldly or violent movies or films in which they perceive a political agenda. One may ask, is it okay for Christians to watch R-rated movies? Another will write, you gave that Martin Scorsese film a good review, but what about all the foul language? Some are troubled by depictions of sex in Blue Valentine, Monster's Ball, and Little Children. Scornful or unflattering portrayals of Christians in The Da Vinci Code and Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. Or illustrations of witchcraft in The World of Harry Potter. Others declare that Hollywood is preoccupied with attacking traditional values. The Bible says we should have nothing to do with darkness, a reader reminded me. So how can you justify spending so much time at the movies? Growing up within a conservative Baptist community in Portland, Oregon, where movies were treated with suspicion, and where I spent my late teens attending 99-cent double features at the Village Theater, I wrestled with many of these questions. Answers did not come easily. While other Christian moviegoers were quick to instruct me on which movies were good or bad, backing up their arguments with Bible verses and statistics, My increasing experience and understanding of Christian freedom and responsibility has led me to different conclusions, and to new questions as well. And as readers continue to write in and condemn my perspectives as too liberal and too conservative, I'm regularly accused of both, or subversive and elitist, I never cease to be amazed at their need to slap a convenient label on me, as if human beings can be divided into simple categories and thereby judged. Thus, when I respond to readers, I find my answers require something more than a simple explanation. I end up sharing stories about my journey. I talk about my changing relationships with certain films, my conversations with moviegoers and filmmakers, and events that transformed me. So I decided to write a book, and that book, Through a Screen Darkly, became another chapter in that journey. I retraced my steps from Michael Haneke's Code Unknown, Krzysztof Kieślowski's Three Colors trilogy, and Wim Wenders' Wings of Desire, all the way to the days when Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars stimulated my young imagination. As I did, I began to see how the power of art has led me to growth and understanding. I realized that I was already responding to the light shining through art when I was 9 years old, delighting as Kermit the Frog headed out of the swamp on a rickety bicycle to pursue his dreams in The Muppet Movie. I was also startled to discover how profoundly time and experience have changed my perspective. As I reread my own review of Spike Jonze's film Adaptation, for example, I was ashamed to find that I had reacted hastily to the film. The character's reckless behavior had made me uncomfortable, so I judged the film prematurely, without perceiving the film's meaningful observations on human depravity. Revisiting the film since then, I've been moved and inspired. Other films that at first ignited my enthusiasm, Dead Poets Society, for example, may seem heavy-handed, derivative, shallow, or even dangerously manipulative after a second or third viewing. This is one of the things I've learned along the way. A first impression is rarely the final word on a movie. In fact, there is probably no final word at all. Art needs time to settle in our minds and hearts so that the process of contemplation, discussion, and ongoing exploration can open up possibilities that never occurred to us in the theater. Thus, after the publication of Through a Screen Darkly, I found blogging to be the most rewarding way to continue the conversations about the movies we see, what they make us feel, what they inspire us to ponder, what they show us about ourselves and each other, and how the experience of revisiting them changes our perception even as it reveals how we ourselves are changing and growing. Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert first modeled the process of thoughtful film criticism for me on television. Even as a 10-year-old, I wanted to understand how two experienced and respected moviegoers could disagree so passionately and glean such varying insights from the same movies. Their heated exchanges made art seem so much more mysterious, so full of possibilities. I began to understand that interpretation, conversation, and revelation were what art was all about. Even though Siskel and Ebert concluded with thumbs up or thumbs down, movie going was not really about casting judgments, no simple checklist of do's and don'ts, and no quick scan for certain volatile ingredients could lead me to a fair assessment of a film. This was to be a journey. I'm sure that many of my strongest friendships would never have grown without the art that provoked me to share feelings with others and learn from their perspectives. I'm also sure that I would have never met and fallen in love with my wife if I had not learned a few things from movies about love and looking closer. Writing Through a Screen Darkly showed me how movies have enhanced my life. It reminded me of why I do this, why I see movies two or three times or more, why I examine the truth that shines darkly through the veil of the movie screen, and why I go home to write about the experience. Just as Christ's listeners attended to his metaphors and parables and heard him say, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." That's Matthew 13:9. So too, I have found that we can glimpse transforming truth through the beauty of art if we put aside fear and judgment and look with eyes to see. That book and this blog are not intended as a catalog prescribing which movies you should see and which you should avoid. They're not technical manuals on the finer points of filmmaking. They are, rather, an invitation to a journey. And now, to the point. Thanks to the generous visionaries at Pathios.com, this blog will serve as a reboot of my long-running blog at LookingCloser.org. Call it Looking Closer 2.0, if you like. The old blog has been an invaluable experience for me, but it feels a bit like a cruise ship that has traveled too many miles, patched up too many leaks, bumped against too many rocks and icebergs. It's time to climb aboard a new ship, and you're invited along for the voyage, so we can go on discussing what we see, hear, and imagine along the way. We will consider more than just movies. I am similarly passionate about music and other forms of art, but just as movies are the most collaborative art form, so the subject of cinema draws in a wide variety of people to discuss what they see on the big screen and what they witness in their lives beyond the theater. I hope you'll come along and join the conversation. Feel free to respond with comments, but please practice criticism and disagreement with discernment and grace, and be respectful and generous with everyone else. I'll assume that if you climb aboard the Looking Closer cruise ship, you intend to make the voyage more rewarding for everyone. Those who are disruptive will learn that I have a low tolerance for the hostility, contentiousness, and contrariness that spoils so many internet conversations. Hostile dialogue tends to bring out the worst in everyone, including me. I want everyone to feel at home and, like me, grateful for the company. Welcome, or for some of you, welcome back to Looking Closer.